I want to talk a couple of minutes about the importance, and you know, we've shared some of this before, but it's vital that we continue to build on that in our spirit, man, and in our understanding of the importance of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because when we develop that quiet place, that quiet meeting place with the Holy Spirit, what happens is it starts to birth change in us. Because out of relationship comes change. Out of relationship comes multiplication. You know that in the natural, when a man and woman come together, husband and wife, under normal circumstances, you'll see a birth. So there'll be a multiplication in that private time. And so when we're talking about experiencing miraculous births, births of ministry, births of wisdom, it comes from that alone time with Almighty God. You know, Jesus would get up very early and he'd spend time with the Father before he went out into ministry. He would always do that. That was his discipline. That was one of his major disciplines. See, so when we enter his presence and we meet with Holy Spirit, you're going to sense his love. You're going to sense his correction. You're going to sense his wisdom. And that's the place where you're changed. See, when we bow before him in humility at that altar, the altar of mercy, we receive forgiveness. We receive restoration. You know, we receive revelation. That's very important. And it's especially important because we have a specific assignment. So that time, that prayer, whether it's a physical prayer room or whether it's in your car or wherever it might be, it's very important, more important than what we realize many times. So because of that, we have to make sure that we bring that discipline higher. And let me give you several keys in terms of your personal relationship and your private relationship with Holy Spirit. The number one, and you know this already, but it's just, I'm just refreshing you with this understanding, is you have to enter daily. Daily relationship. Psalms 88:9, Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. See, so there's a daily meeting, a daily gathering, a daily relationship. Number two, yes. When we enter that place, that relationship, it's very vital to understand that it's especially important when we are threatened or abused. When we're threatened or abused, it's even more important that you come into that relationship with him. Because the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Psalms 34:7. So in that relationship, that private daily relationship, what will happen is as you come to Holy Spirit, he will give you wisdom for this threat, for this abuse, for this persecution. He'll give you covering. He'll give you wisdom. So that's another very important reason to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The next one, number three, is before you make any large financial decisions about your in your life, business, or ministry, it is important that you go to Holy Spirit and talk to him about it. He'll give you wisdom. Sometimes he'll tell you, no, don't go into that financial arrangement. It's not going to bless you. Sometimes he'll tell you, yes, I'll be with you. Sometimes he'll tell you, not yet. In Philippians 4:19, the Apostle Paul one time said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, so there is provision there, and it's according to his riches in glory. So we don't have to worry that we don't have enough, because he has more than enough. He can turn things around in a heartbeat. You know, I've looked at these stairs in our church and said, my God, how are we going to do this? This takes a lot of money. And suddenly, bam, we have a ministry that has come to help us to raise the money.
Amen.
And it was not even my idea. God mm-hmm. touched another person to raise money for us. Mm-hmm. Go figure. Only God. Only God.
Hallelujah.
In the same way, there are relationships that are there for you, that God will open up for you if you just get into that relationship. He'll show you when. He'll show you how. The other thing is, especially when we're weak, that's even more important that we go into relationship with Almighty God. when you feel that you've had it, you can't take it anymore, it's no more energy. In the presence of God, you can expect to be made strong. Jesus is still the difference in your life, in your ministry, in your business, in your family. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. And then the next thing is that when it also matters how you enter into that relationship. Don't go in arrogant. Don't go in prideful. Not with God. Mm-hmm. Especially not with God. You go with a broken and contrite spirit. You go with a humble spirit. Humility is the magnet that never fails to attract God. Psalms 34:18 says it this way. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and he saves such as are of a contrite spirit. He saves
those that are of a contrite spirit,
a humble spirit.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
See, so we go before God humble. We don't go with an attitude. Not with him. He knows your heart. He knows you. We might play that with people. We might come, you know, with an attitude, you know, no, I'm all right. I don't need anybody. But not before God. You go before God. You bring your tears to God. You bring your pain to God. He's our Father.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then the next thing is when you're disappointed. When, you know, I'm disappointed. I prayed. I thought that you would answer. I thought that you would respond. Bring your disappointments to God because he hears your disappointments. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, talking about David, King David, he said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He had a child out of wedlock. Mm-hmm. He committed adultery and the child died. He was fasting and praying for the child. That the child would. But when the child died, he basically went and he worshiped in his disappointment.
And God
delivered him from that sin and he forgave him of that sin.
Hallelujah.
And then later on, God gave him Solomon.
Yes.
So even when we're disappointed, that's even more important that you go and worship. Worship in the midst of your disappointment. Worship in the midst of your pain. Worship in the midst of your sadness. Worship in the midst of the times where you think, you know, nobody's listening here. That's when you go before God. And if you don't have words, just say, God, I'm just here to worship you. Lift up your hands. And just expose your pain before God. Say, God, I have no words, but I'm just before you. And I need you right now. I need your presence. And you watch how he will minister to you.
Mm-hmm.
See, because God came in the flesh. And he lived in this body. So he knows pain. He understands pain. He can empathize what you're going through. See, so that's vital. Enter when you need acts of mercy. When you need mercy. See, sometimes man won't give you mercy. Man will give you cruelty. Sometimes wherever you go, you won't get mercy, you won't get love, you won't get grace. But God will give you grace. He will give you mercy. In Psalms 18:50, it says, great deliverance gives he to his king. He shows mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. We are part of David's seed. I don't know if you know that. Because out of David came Jesus. And we come in Jesus. So we have that mercy. God shows mercy to David's seed. So when we need mercy, he'll give us mercy. Another time to go into the presence of God is if we sin. If you sin, that's especially the most important time for you to go to God. When you sin, when you blow it and you know you did, you go before God, say, God, forgive me. I just blew it. I just messed up. See, in Psalms 37, it says this, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Hallelujah. So this is for all of us. Psalms 34, 23 and 24. I'm sorry, Psalms 37. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. And the next thing is when somebody speaks lies about you, when somebody's stirring up enmity and strife around you, vital that you go before God. We can either fight in our own flesh And then sometimes we miss, sometimes we hit, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. But it's better to go to God. The arms of God are always our best defense. In Psalms 31:20 says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. See, so God knows there are tongues of strife, tongues that will try to hurt you, that will try to wound you, pride of man that comes to destroy others. But in the midst of that, praise God, he is there with us, he is there for us, and he will protect us. He will hide us in the secret of his presence. Notice once again, the presence. And then the next thing, if you're experiencing confusion or unexpected changes, Artie, Denise, that's a good one for you, unexpected changes. Mm-hmm. Transition is often our most vulnerable season. See? And these are times where we have to come before the Lord. Psalms 31:15 says, my times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. See, David understood that. So he would go before God in times of uncertainty, in times of unexpected change, confusion, or persecution. Hallelujah. So it's vital that we go before God. Now, another area is when we are uncertain in decision-making. When you're uncertain, you go to God. Consulting God is never a mistake. Never, ever, ever, ever. In Psalms 32:8, it says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. Hallelujah. He will guide us when we are uncertain. Amen. And then the next thing is when we're having money problems, when we're being strangled in business or jobs or personally or in family, that's a very powerful and important time to go before the Lord. God wants us to prosper. He wants ministries to prosper. He wants Christian businesses to prosper because they glorify him. So he told the Philippians, actually Paul said this, now you Philippians, you know this also from the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me or worked with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. But I have everything. I abound. I'm full. I've received everything from Epaphroditus. I've received from him the things that are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So even there, God will help you. God will bless you when you have money problems. Paul, when he had money problems, he would pray to God and God would provide through different ways. Jesus in his ministry, you know, there were ladies that would donate into his ministry. There were people that would donate. And quite a bit came in because he even had a personal treasurer. Judas was a treasurer. Why would you need a treasurer if a lot of money wasn't coming in? Think about it. God will provide from so many different ways, but it's out of relationship. So it's in that relationship when you seek God, when you're speaking to the Holy Spirit, talk to him about your needs. Another time to go before God is when you're doing well. Sometimes we do well and we forget God. We stop reaching out to God. I don't understand that. We should be grateful. The goodness of God deserves recognition.
Yes, Lord.
Psalms 34:1-2, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. See, so bless the Lord at all times, not just in difficult times. Don't just go to God when you're in trouble. Go to God when things are well, when things are good.
Yeah.
Appreciate Amen. Him. Be grateful. Thank him for his goodness. When there's plenty, thank God. When there's not enough, go to God and ask God to provide. David one time said that, don't give me too much because I might curse you. Don't give me too little, don't give me too much, I might forget about you. Don't give me too little because I might curse you.
Yeah.
Give me my needs of every day.
See, so, hallelujah. Thank you,
that should be our prayer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the next thing is enter into his presence when your dreams and goals seem impossible to achieve. When they seem impossible, He spoke to you about something, but it seems impossible. God loves to do the impossible, people.
Yes.
Psalms 34, 9 and 10. Fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God will provide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, man, things might be impossible, but to God, all things are possible.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And let's enter also with expectation. So God honors expectation. He honors faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6.
Mm-hmm.
The expectation, it's almost like electricity. Electricity moves within the wires. It's a current. See? Expectation will bring you into his presence. Expectation will purge you. Expectation will purify you. Expectation will change you, because when you come into God's presence, that's when you receive that purging and that purification and faith. It's expectation that God will do what he said he would do. So expect God to respond to you in that secret peace. Expect the pain to leave your body and your soul and your heart when you go into that secret place. Expect confusion to depart from your mind. Expect revelation to flow like living water, and revelation to flow concerning those that you love. Expect supernatural peace and joy to explode within your heart as you enter into his presence.
Hallelujah.
So establish that daily secret place. Meeting with Holy Spirit daily. It is vital. It's necessary. It's something that we all need to experience on a daily basis.
Amen.
Amen. And those are my thoughts.
Thank you, Father.
Comments, queries, thoughts, posers.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
I have a question, Pastor.
Yes.
The lineage of Jesus Christ is David. And then before David was Solomon?
When you're talking about David, Solomon was David's son.
Okay.
So you first had David, then you had Solomon. And then you have you had Jesse, which was David's father. And it says, a stem of Jesse shall spring up. And that's where the lineage of Jesus Christ came, the family of Jesus Christ came.
Is Jesse in the Bible?
Yes, amen.
Bible. Yeah. You have Jesse, then you have David, then you have Solomon, and then it continues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, praise God. We even have a dog that's listening to the message. Eli has a nice dog. What's the name of the dog?
That's Missy.
Missy, how are you, Missy? Who's calling me? Hi, Missy.
No, come in here.
That's Jack Russell, right?
Jack Russell, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good call.
Thank you, Pastor.
Anybody else?
One other question, Pastor.
Yes.
David who had the affair, was that the same woman who he sent his first lieutenant out to the battlefield?
That's Bathsheba you're talking about?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the question about Bathsheba?
You said David had a son out of wedlock.
Yes.
That was
the first boy. It was with Bathsheba. And then later on, they had another boy. It was called Solomon.
From Bathsheba?
From Bathsheba.
Wow. I got to meet up with
him. Listen, God's merciful. You know, there was
a woman
that many scholars believe was a prostitute called Rahab.
That's right.
And yes. Rahab was in the first city called Jericho, where Joshua was called by God to overtake as part of taking the land. And Rahab told the spies when they came in, listen, I'm going to let you escape from here. I'm going to hide you, but be merciful to my family. And they said, no problem. Just put a red scarlet rope outside your window. and we'll make sure we get you out. And that's what happened. They went back to the camp. They told them, listen, this lady called Rahab helped us, so you got to make sure that her and her family get saved. Are you aware that Jesus also came through her lineage?
Wow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, so God's not interested in your past. He's just interested in your future.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Some of the greatest men and women of God have made great mistakes in the past.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Wherever the mercy flows, wherever the blood flows, it doesn't hide the sin. It expunges sin. It cleanses it. And
thank you, Father.
And throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. Though your sins might be red as scarlet, they'll be white as snow.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Lord.
Pastor, I'm sorry. There was a part when you said when dreams and goals are impossible. Was there a verse with that?
When dreams and goals seem impossible, right?
Right.
That's Psalms 34, 9 and 10. There is no want to them that fear him. Young lions lack, they suffer hunger, but they
bless you.
The Lord shall not want any good thing. And that's Old Testament speak, or King James speak, shall not want. In other words, they won't have any need.
Thank you.
Pastor?
Yes.
It's Cynthia. If anybody wants the scriptures that have the lineage of Christ, there's two if you want to write them down. I yes. have them. It's Luke chapter 3, verses 23-38.
They're writing down, Cynthia, so thank you. I really appreciate that.
Luke what? I got you. Sorry I didn't get on video, Pastor, but I was just walking in. I need to eat and do laundry and a couple of things, so it was easy to move around on the phone, yeah.
I understand. Thank you. Thank you for being on anyway. And, you know, this system does give us the option to be video or audio, so that's fine. That's I appreciate you got on.
Amen.
Please.
So Luke chapter 3, mm-hmm. verses 23-38. And then Matthew chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Verses 1 through 17, and the difference is one is the lineage through Mary, and one is through Joseph. Because you'll see they vary ever so slightly. Towards the end, there are differences, but that explains the differences.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia. That was awesome. Appreciate it.
No problem, Pastor.
Anybody else? Well, praise God. It's good to always come together with my family in Christ. Really appreciate more than words could say your continued faithfulness to the Tuesday gatherings. Also the Thursday gatherings. Thank you for gathering together with my wife on Thursdays. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to this coming Sunday. Like I said before, she's preaching this Sunday, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to preach in the next service, so she's going to give me a break because I got to preach in the Spanish service.
Oh, nice.
We're staying for the Spanish service.
Pastor, could you email me the notes, please?
What I'll do is I'll email you the video.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. And then you have my email, right?
You know, it's good that you send it to me.
I know.
I don't have these things memorized. I'm so busy working, getting the book together and these other things together that my memory says I'm going to throw everything else out.
Okay. I like to go back, you know, on the notes and
study. That's good. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'll keep it up for about a week. And then you could write whatever you need to write. Okay. Anybody else, if you want to get a copy of the video, just send it to me. Send me your email, also requesting it, and I'll send it to you. Okay. Cool. All right. We love you guys. Have a wonderful week. And looking forward to seeing you this weekend. All right.
God bless you.
Such a rich weekend last weekend. Great. Thank you for Saturday birthday party. Awesome. And Thank you for loving on my family this past year.
Amen. Amen. We love you, Pastor.
Praise God.
God bless, Pastor.